What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of these new Channel T clips that I'm doing for you guys. I want to call this one an official podcast, but I want to keep that title for ones done in the studio. This is our coronavirus e-commerce conversation. CECC, bro. And I'm here at this new Channel T CECC convention with two people who know a lot about e-commerce. They know the paths it takes to start in the field and, you know, get the results that'll take you places. So with no further ado, he's back. He's ready to talk about this. He's ready to school me and Kevin on this shit. His name is Asad Shah. I call him Asad because I can actually pronounce his fucking first name. But he is AKA the Amazon FBA guy that everybody loves and knows on Twitter. He's taken Amazon, Ring's Amazon sales from the single-digit millions to double-digit millions. He's done a lot more for his own self. I got my boy Asad in the building. So what's up? And then joining us today is no other than my boy. I've known him for such a long time. It's a blessing to finally link up and collab with him. He has been an inspiration to me. We've both been on that entrepreneurship type vibe. And his name is Kevin Pack, the entrepreneur, e-commerce entrepreneur.
Let's go, boy.
And it's going to be a good time. As you know, I got to shout my peoples out. Shout out Day One Media, Day One TV. Love you guys. Thanks for always having me on. Got to have you guys on soon after this quarantine bullshit. Shout out Kaylin Williams, Makeup LaVie, Poppy Los Angeles, Best Tacos in the damn city of LA. Esteth can vouch for that. We'll take Kevin sometime soon.
100%. I love tacos.
Hell yeah. Midnight Moon Co., my boys. Get your stickers, get your anime fan gear, get your phone cases, get all that stuff. They can even do custom stuff for you guys, I'm sure, if the price is right. Shout out
boy.
The 2 a.m. podcast. Dude, shout out. I have so many people shout out Sam Clips. Everyone. I love all of you guys. I'm going to throw their shits all over here. So let's get started. All right. Asad, Kevin, this is his first time meeting you. You want to just give him a rundown of like what you do now in terms of e-commerce and stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely. It's good to meet you, man. So what I'm doing now is I'm focusing more on building my own brands on like my own websites, not as much selling on marketplaces. And I was running an agency most of last year, so I'm not really doing that as much anymore. But yeah, my focus now is learning, like taking a very holistic approach to marketing and focusing more on being a media buyer and understanding that through and through. So that's pretty much what the rest of 2020 has for me.
Woo! And Kevin, why don't you give, for you know, the people who don't know you, give a brief introduction, and Esad can take what he wants from that.
Yeah, of course. So I am a new entrepreneur into this whole game. I just recently hit multiple six figures on my Amazon business, and for this whole journey so far, my main focus is going to be on scaling the business from six figures to seven figures, and long-term goals further ahead is to use Amazon as a window of opportunity to invest into like real estate and stuff like that. So that is kind of like the journey, the path I'm on right now, and it's really cool to meet someone else who's done the game or who way beyond the game than I have.
Hell yeah, sick. I'm glad we have introductions out the way. You know, first things first, and I feel like this whole corona quarantine stuff is actually a great way for us to bring in the e-commerce talk, because one, think about all the e-commerce, you know, sellers that got fucked from the whole Wuhan shit. China did a good job of bouncing the fuck back though, which is sick. And then think about just like all the fucking all the people who are out of the job, or, you know, they have a lot more time now since they're working from home. Dude, imagine how many people could start an e-commerce business right now. And I mean, you know, a really like sick one too. Like there's a lot of time on our hands. So what do you guys think about this whole, let's start with Asad. What do you think about the whole situation, you know, China being affected by, or, you know, basically the ports, the sellers, the factories, how it all got affected by the coronavirus and shit like that?
Yeah, so I'm actually working on a video about this specifically for the coronavirus, how to start an e-com store in the middle of a pandemic. And it's interesting to see if anybody who was in the middle of processing orders and getting stuff like drop shipping or ordering stuff from China, they basically got screwed for 3 to 4 weeks out because everything in China got hit so bad. They bounced back because their economy depends on it. And the world economy depends on it. China can't be out of function for that long without the whole world coming to a collapse, because it was affecting everybody. Big companies like Apple couldn't get their products out of China either. So I think that it's a good time if anyone's interested. The economy depends on it. And the world economy depends on it. China can't be out of function for that long without the whole world coming to a collapse, because it was affecting everybody. Big companies like Apple couldn't get their products out of China either. So I think that it's a good time if anyone's interested in e-commerce right now with all the lockdowns everywhere. You got nothing but time. So, you know, you can use that to you could waste that time or you could be productive. So if someone's interested in starting a business or thinking about it, right now is the time to do it. And we're going to see a big shift in a couple different industries. Like, for one, you're going to see it with manufacturing for sure. It's not going to be in China. Like, 10 years from now, China's not going to be as big in terms of manufacturing as they are right now. That's going to change. I think that there's a lot of business opportunities there as well. But the whole point of this is when you see a big shift happen in the market like this, it's the perfect time to get in there and find where the money's flowing and put yourself in between two big points of where the money is. Because opportunities like this don't come around often. There's a lot of things changing right now. A lot of things changed in 2009 with the last recession. A lot of things are going to change right now. So e-com, and I think e-com is one of the big ones. So it's a big opportunity right now. And, you know, with the stimulus packages coming in, whatever else, there's a good chance a lot of people can find early success enough to keep them motivated if they just put in the work.
Wow. 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 Dude, no, thank you. I wholeheartedly agree. The whole production thing. All right, you know, let's get a taste from Kevin. Kevin, anything you want to tag on to that?
Yeah, so I think that he has a lot of solid points, and there's a lot of, like, I'm a big believer in multiple streams of income, right? And a lot of people are suffering, and I did a YouTube video on this as well, on like how it's affecting people and, you know, why it's important to be making money online right now because of the opportunity it has. Because if you are relying on a job that was, you know, you had a restaurant job or you have a restaurant business, you're screwed at this point right now, you know, or if you have a salon business, like, you're screwed at this point. Most of the things are shut down right now. And so I totally agree with Asad here, where it's like huge opportunity right now to take advantage of your free time and really dig into like what kind of online opportunities are out there. It doesn't have to be Amazon FBA. It could be, you know, Shopify or affiliate marketing, whatever the case may be, but some kind of online income source is important right now. And as far as like what I've heard is with Amazon sellers being affected, it's very much like either, it's like not 50-50, but it's, what's like 100 divided by 3, like 33%, something like that?
Yeah, 33%.
Something like that, right? So it's like, it's people who are either having great sales right now and their sales are skyrocketing, or they're stagnant, or they're really taking a big hit from this, you know? So it's obviously, they're one of those three. Personally, for me, I've seen a growth in this. And then I've heard from other people who are getting tanked by this shit. So it's a hard time for a lot of people, but it's also a good time to really seek opportunities out there and start launching products that that are not in the category of being tanked or whatever, you know. So that's my take on what's going on right now.
Dude, I fuck with what everybody said. From what I took out of this, no one is prepared for it. Like, I mean, at least in the, like, the first world, like the West, but we're not prepared. Europe might have some sort of like war plan or emergency plan, but in America, bro, think about it. We have never had a war touch our soil other than like Pearl Harbor. Like, what the fuck did that do, you know? This was like the first time Americans had to like hold up. Like, this shit this shit is like real. Like, you know what I mean? And regardless of whether it actually is real or not, it got into our homes for once. You know what I'm saying? It actually affected our living situations. And amongst any change in living situation, I mean, think about, you know, just history within itself, how many people made money off of disasters, how many people make money off of misfortunes, right? So that's why you see all these fucking CEOs stepping down. That's why you see all these, you know, like hedge funds tripling their fucking portfolios now that everything's like bottom barrel dollar. You know, it's crazy, bro. But the other thing that I liked, that I wanted to mention, that Asif kind of touched on, a good friend of mine pointed out, he has multiple businesses. A lot of them deal with, you know, inventory and shit from China. And he said that a lot of these CEOs and American people who make money in America, what they want to do, especially now with this whole event that just happened, they want to push production back into the USA. And think about it. When you push production back into the USA, what's that going to do? It's going to increase costs. Obviously, we don't have whatever, right? So the plan he told me was they're going to fuck up the market. They're going to ruin everything, essentially, you know, tank it out and then put in a new system. Like, basically, bro, some big shit. Like, I don't know if you guys feel it too. Some big shit's going to fucking happen after all this. Like, we can't just go, like, you know, it's just like the stock market. We hit the bottom and then something's going to happen and take us back up, you know? I mean, for the Great Depression, it was World War II. We don't know what the fuck's going to take us out of this. The homie was saying it's going to be a new financial system. And since it's going to be more dominant, like, amongst multiple markets, so it's going to be easier to instill, like, it's going to be, they're like globalizing, bro. It's globalization efforts, essentially. So when you have kind of like, not communist, but when you have like a global company in industry, right, it's easier for you to just force a price on people rather than sacrificing labor in China or India. Like, you know what I'm saying? So that's what he was saying, that everything is going to be in the US and then everyone's going to be forced to pay a certain premium, and then it's going to separate the people, rich and poor. And that's how it's going to be like in those futuristic movies when they have like the rich ass fools like driving hover cars and shit, and like everyone else is at the bottom like yeah. So that's what I think, bro. But you guys also brought up a good point, and it's a great time to get started on e-commerce.
Absolutely. I was actually heard, I was watching, I don't know if you guys know who was it? Graham Stephan? I think it was Graham Stephan. Do you know who that is?
It sounds familiar. I might know him by face.
Graham Stephan?
Oh, he's the real estate guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He just recently talked about how his thoughts and everything about this current situation and how we're going into a recession and everything like that, how it's going to affect everything. And basically his thought process was he made a good point where it's like, bull time, you know, like bull and bear. Yeah. So he was saying how they're always the same, but the bears are always different of like how it happens and everything like that. And so he was just kind of trying to calm everyone's mind down about like, okay, like we're going to feel this recession. We're going to be in this bear stage and everything, but we're always going to find a way to come back up no matter what. And there might be a different way of we doing it. Maybe it's what Tark's saying right here, but either way, it's going to come back up regardless. I think it's going to come up quicker than we think. That's what I think.
Hey, man. I definitely, regardless, something's going to happen to push us back up. My mom's a real estate agent, and I mean, she hits me with like whatever the interest rate is at the time. And bro, it keeps fluctuating. Like they recently pushed it back up, but then now I guess they put it back down to like 3% or something like that. That even ties into like the world of e-commerce. So how hard is it for you guys to like really, I mean, I'm not sure if like honing in on new products is like a thing that you guys do all the time. Like, but has that kind of slowed down for you guys to where like it's kind of like, oh, everyone's in fucking Wuhan, I don't want to get a fucking product with coronavirus on it and shit, or you know, what's your guys' deal with that right now?
So
talk on this one.
Yeah, I mean, so on my end, as far as the dropshipping is concerned, everything's pretty much back to normal. The only restrictions we're seeing now is some countries are blocking income. Like, Italy's on total lockdown. You can't get anything into Italy. You can't get anything out of Italy. So outside of these countries that are seeing, like big outbreaks, everything's pretty much back to normal. And as far as finding new products, anything, like, I'm not personally looking for new products or trying to launch a new brand right now, but I know a couple other people who have, and, like, one of my friends, she started a store like 5 or 6 days ago, and I think she's already done $4,000 or $5,000 in sales. So there's no shortage there. There's no issue there. Like, people are still buying. People are buying more.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, because people are home, they're going to spend their money. You know, they're going to have a lot of sex and spend a lot of money. That happens when everyone's locked up at home. So, yeah, there's no issues there. There's nothing like being held back. It's not as, like, things aren't as crazy as people make them out to be right now, but I think this is one thing that's going to change quite a bit. More and more people have their own businesses, and I think that's what's going to pull us out of this next recession that we're going to go into. I don't think the recession is going to hit until halfway through next year, or maybe at the end of next year, because what we're experiencing right now is artificial. Everything that's happening right now is artificial. Like, there's this artificial, like, it's not an artificial lockdown, but there's a lockdown.
It's fabricated.
Yeah, and they haven't frozen, like, after 9/11, they froze the markets. The markets were just not, nothing was being, like, you couldn't trade, you couldn't buy, you couldn't sell, nothing was happening. And when they opened the markets, the Dow crashed really bad, obviously. But what's surprising is that they haven't closed the markets yet, and it's just a constant, like, one day it's down 5%, the next day it's up 7%. So I think we're going to keep seeing that for a little bit. I think once the stimulus package hits, it's going to do a lot, it's going to help the economy out, and then once everything is contained as far as coronavirus is concerned, I think that the economy is going to bounce back relatively quickly. And then after that, we'll see what happens as far as the election is concerned. Most of the time, when a Democratic candidate takes office, the market kind of stagnates or stays there. More often than not, when a Republican takes office, it goes up. So if Trump gets reelected, we're going to see the market kind of have a little bump at the end of the year. But all things considered, we're overdue for a recession, so we'll be sure to hit that.
So you're saying there's no like, it's back to normal essentially, the whole drop shipping deal?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, drop shipping is back to normal. If I wanted to buy mass units right now, if I wanted to bulk up, like if I wanted to jump back on Amazon, I could put in an order for, you know, a couple thousand units, and they'd probably get here within, it might take a little bit longer for them to get here, but I could get them here and start selling them. Logistics and global supply chain have almost entirely returned back to normal, because one of the most important things is cash flow is very important. That's what people need to understand, that cash flow is very, very important. Businesses can survive even if they're losing money quarter over quarter or annually at the end of the year. If it looks like their profit loss is negative, if they have cash flow, that's what matters the most. There's startups that have cash flow, but they're not making it. Like, Ring was making money. Ring never made a corporate profit, but they were generating a lot of cash flow, had a lot of customer data, all that kind of stuff. So it's like they sold for $1.2 billion. So that's one thing that's very important. And it, regardless of what happens, like this global pandemic or a war or whatever else, no government and no major company in the world is going to sit around for very long and say, well, I'm just going to let all my profits suffer because of whatever's going on. They're going to find some way around it. And that's one other thing here. Like, if it's kind of messed up, it's probably a fucked up thing to say, but it's very true, that if the virus had hit a country that wasn't important to the global economy, nobody would have given a shit. Nobody would have cared. They would have been fighting it by themselves, and nobody would have responded to it. Like, most African countries, people wouldn't have they wouldn't bat an eye. And it's happened. Ebola happened. Like, nobody really, you know? So
yeah, people didn't freak out about Ebola like they did about this.
But no, Ebola has a 40% death rate. If you get it, you're basically fucked.
Yeah. But yo, it's not the first virus to come out of China, bro. Bird flu, swine flu. Yeah. You know, Ebola was probably the only one, other than, like, I mean, fucking, like, hepatitis and shit like that, to come out of Africa, bro. Dude, I don't know. I feel that for the whole e-commerce game, it'd be sick if we could find, like, I mean, other than, you know, distributors here to drop ship, like actual manufacturers here in the States. Like, you know what I mean? Bro, for like my clothing, for my like merch line, I made sure that it was like USA made. Because like, bro, fucking tariffs. Dude, I deal with that at work because like, we're a packaging company. So like we make our manufacturing plant is in China, in Guangzhou. And bro, we suffered, bro. We suffered because of, and you guys probably know it too, Chinese New Year. And then yeah. Right in the midst of the ending of, like when we're about to be like, ooh, it's about to pump up again. Coronavirus.
She
was popping. Yeah, bro. You know what I'm saying? So, it's crazy how like the world theater, like I said, that like how you brought that up. We did definitely react way differently to this one. But dude, I have a lot of. I mean, I don't want to bring up the shit that I'm speculating in my head, but I feel that this is all fabricated in order to make profits for certain people, and it's affecting people like us who want to start online businesses, bro. Oh, and then here's one thing I wanted to bring up, just to kind of keep on track, guys. Dude, Kevin, I don't know if you have experience with Shopify and like their add-ins and shit like that, but Esed kind of told me that like that's kind of like the new move. What are your thoughts on that, like Shopify versus FBA? Or
I think that as you know, beginner stage, I think Amazon FBA is a great like way to start off, and I think to go from FBA to Shopify is like a good strategy to get into. And I eventually, if my brand of products eventually goes in that direction, then, you know, that'd be great for me, you know. I would like that because I've seen people who go from Amazon FBA to Shopify and their margins like increase, and it runs a little bit better. So that's what like I like about Shopify and everything. And so something like that would be something I definitely would like to scale into if I build my brands properly.
Tell you. Like yeah. From what I've learned from Esed, I use Shopify for my Channel T merch and shit like that. Mm-hmm. It's much more targeted. Like you can set up like a general shop, right? Where you have like multiple products, but you can definitely do it to where like you build a brand, bro. It's insane. I mean, with Amazon, it's kind of like, okay, I'm finding a random seller, or I'm finding a brand that sells it themselves on Amazon, you know? But with Shopify, it's like, yo, I'm going to this brand's website. I found them on Instagram, or I found them on Facebook, or I found them on Pinterest or whatever. And, you know, it's like you not only build your brand, but you're building a client base as well. Because for Shopify, it really makes it easy for you to like hit your clients with like, you know, text messages, or like keep up with all the data.
You own your customers.
Yeah. For me, I don't have much experience with FBA, only from what I've seen with Esed. Like, you know what I mean? When he showed me a couple things. But I, for my own personal experience, I fuck with Shopify so hard. I want to get into the drop shipping game on that for sure.
Yeah. And I think it's a great opportunity to get into as well. I feel like I as of this point right now, I want to reap all the benefits that I can out of FBA. And establish a good foundation, and then move towards Shopify when I get a chance, and then I could really diversify. But but I want to ask Saad there, like, how did he transition from that whole Amazon FBA into dropshipping?
So with Amazon, my story was I started selling on Amazon myself in college, and then I worked for a couple startups for a couple years, and then I. So when I was working for those startups and like 6-7 months out, I wasn't allowed to sell on my own. I had to sign an anti-competition.
Like conflict of interest thing.
Yeah, or maybe an antitrust. I don't know, but I just basically couldn't do anything e-commerce related. So when I was getting back into it a little more than a year ago, I was focusing more on an agency, like finding clients and managing for them, because I realized most people don't know anything about Amazon. So I did that for about a year, and what I realized last year was that Amazon's changed quite a bit in the time that I've kind of, you know, got started with it and got to the point where I was. And from that, I realized that it wasn't something I saw with a lot of quick scaling potential, all things considered, in terms of risk analysis and everything like that. So I decided to move over to Shopify and Facebook ads and Google ads because it's a more holistic approach to marketing. Facebook ads is a different beast, and I wanted to just kind of master that. So that's how I ended up here. But my long-term goal is to go back to FBA to launch a brand that's successful on its own and then also hit Amazon. But yeah, that was kind of my journey. Amazon, I've also, I don't know how long you've been doing working with Amazon, but my experience when I was at Ring and Kavo, it's I used to love Amazon, and it's one of those things that it's like, I don't know if I was just doing it for too long, but it did become a massive headache.
How long did you do it for?
I started in probably 2015.
Oh shit, you got in early.
Yeah, and it was that, and it was also it was also like when I was at Ring, the stuff we like at Ring, when I first got hired at Ring was August 2016. And one of the first things I had to deal with when I got there was Amazon lost an entire shipment for them, valued at $500,000.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Lost.
And then it ended up in third party bins, like other people selling Ring products. All of our products ended up in their bins. So they basically got a free influx of products, and they were selling it and making money. So that was one thing I had to deal with, and that was like that just kind of showed me how incompetent they are in some ways. That whole thing took about 8 or 9 months to get solved. And so I mean it's like you lose $500,000 if you're responsible for $500,000 of inventory and you lose it, you can like that's like we could have raised criminal charges against them. So, you know, it was stuff like that. There's other stuff that happened. Amazon's still, it's still a very viable option. It's just something that once you kind of get a taste of what else is out there, it becomes a lot more fun to, like, try other things out.
Yeah, and I see Amazon as, like I mentioned before, as a window of opportunity to use that and venture into other businesses or other things you want to do and stuff like that, or reinvestment. So I think because, I mean, as you know, Amazon's a very cash flow intensive business. And so once you like reap enough profit out of it, you can definitely use that and scale it towards other businesses or get into Shopify or things like that. So that's why I love Amazon so much, because I love the hands-off approach of it. And I really like the way my life is at right now. Like I'm just kind of just chilling and sales come no matter what. And it's just kind of like, it's a good time out of that. And that's when you scale it even further, now I get the opportunity to really look into other things and you know, focus on my YouTube or whatever the case may be.
How long have you been doing FBA, Kevin?
It's been almost 2 years.
Oh, wow. So you started, okay.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, because for you, you started, you know, pretty recently compared to Esed.
Mm-hmm.
When would you say, like, how long let me rephrase. For the amount of time you put in, when did you start seeing a point in time where you can actually take, not like big sales, but like we could actually take out profit? I know how it is, but it takes time and shit.
It does take time.
So for you, someone who started more recently, mm-hmm. compared to like I said, how long would you say it took you?
So it took me probably to start seeing profit. So the first year that I did it, I failed and I lost a lot of money. Because I didn't know what I was doing. I just kept learning. I failed 3 products and I lost like 10K out of that shit. It was a depressing time. A bad time. But
it happens, bro. It's business, then, dog.
Yeah, right? And then so the second year in 2019, that's when I started to launch a couple successful products. And out of those products, I started seeing profit 2 months in. And I didn't pocket any of those. I just kept reinvesting into that and into more inventory.
Wow.
For about like 2 months.
Sick. Yeah, really. And you say that that's after your 10K hurdle?
Yes, that was after a 10K hurdle, after really fucking up and like, oh shit, don't do that.
Yeah, and that's what I kind of wanted to like showcase with you. I mean, bro, you came from, I mean, bro, we were both in school and stuff like that, but you came from a very like, your entrepreneurship came very early for you, I feel, and that took you into the whole fitness realm first, right? So Esad, Kevin used to be a personal trainer, bro, before he got into the whole e-commerce game. He was heavy into it, bro. He would go to competitions and perform really well, bro. He's pretty jacked, pretty good, you know, pretty sick fitness guy. I worked out with him, bro. He fucking slaughtered me, bro. But yeah, dude, what I wanted to bring in is kind of like, how would you say, like, because no one has the, like, the execution to just get started and shit. But for a fitness guy, I feel like that's very easy. So how would you feel your experience from the fitness realm and personal training especially brought you into, like, how has it helped you in e-commerce?
I feel like I owe a lot of my success to fitness. And I'm very thankful that I was in that game. I will never, like, forget my roots, because that's where, like, everything came from. So I started my personal training business myself, too, and I did pretty well with that. And I used all that money to invest into Amazon and everything. And I would not be where I'm at today if I didn't learn about how to do well in fitness and how to stay consistent, be dedicated, determined to reach my fitness goals. And that those characteristics transferred over into business. And when people ask me about this, I always tell them, like, hey, like, you, no matter what you're trying to do, whether it's in business or just you're working for somebody, it doesn't really matter, but always keep fitness in your life, because you learn a lot of valuable traits out of that. You know, you'll implement them in your own way. And for me, learning about how to persevere through things and learning how to stay committed to a task were very important into the success of my Amazon business and further on.
Bro, that's sick, bro. And like me and Esad, we come from like sales backgrounds. So I feel like it's just cool to learn, like, I mean, Esad, I'm sure you can vouch for me too. Like, it's cool to see like the different aspects, like, especially with e-commerce, bro, or like even with crypto or whatever, like, you have people coming in from like any part of the world, like, oh, I used to be a farmer, or like, hey, I used to be like a stockbroker, I quit my job, or I used to be a nurse. And dude, e-commerce just gives people that like stepping stool to kind of, you know, hop into a whole new realm of money, bro.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that.
Yeah, it's kind of where we're headed overall. It's kind of like taking the power back from I don't want to say corporations, but kind of just giving the people more power.
The monopolies.
Yeah, it's kind of like diversifying the economy a little bit. And because we're living in a time where it's like you could take anything you're passionate about and turn it into a business and make it a profitable business. Whereas like, I think in January I moved, I don't know, it was like a couple hundred, it was probably close to 1,000 units with my dropshipping store. And I was able to do that for my living. Like, I didn't touch them ever. I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, 20 years ago, that wasn't possible. You couldn't move, it doesn't matter what it was, even like the smallest product, you would have to buy it, store it somewhere, and then ship it out one by one by one. And now I'm at a point where it's like orders come in, they go straight to the factory, they ship them out. I don't have to touch anything. So yeah, it's one of those things that is the barrier to entry is very low and anybody can do it. But then also anytime the barrier of anything that's very easy to do or anybody can just do it, it takes a lot of skill and grit and hard work to be successful at it.
Oh, right? Like, bro.
You know, if you want to be a trader, like if I want to trade crypto, I throw some money in my account and go make a couple trades a week. I'm a trader. If I want to be a dropshipper, I go and set up a store. Like, you know what I mean? Like, anybody can do it. If you want to be on Amazon and do FBA, you make an account, you pay the fee, and you're technically a seller. And if something like that anybody can do, if you want to be successful at it, you got to really, like, you got to work harder than something else that has a higher barrier to entry that less people end up doing.
It's such like a, the thing about e-commerce is, dude, there's two ways to go about it. I feel like you can have your own little kind of like investment group. You have that one guy who knows everything and people just pour money into him. Or you have like that people like us, people like you two, especially your own brilliant minds. You guys carve out your own path and then like it's going to lead to something greater than like just having a bunch of people putting in money to one guy who's just stressed out all the fucking time because he's always getting shit like, oh, we're not making enough money. Oh. You know what I mean? And like you guys said too, what the thing you said about taking power back from like the institutions at hand. Bro, I had this thought a long time ago. Just like, I love watching like, not like medieval time movies, and you know, but that time in history, like the year 1000 to like 1800s, like World War I. Bro, there was a difference in life between royalty and like the aristocrats and like the, you know, bourgeoisie. to like the normal fucking people, bro. It was a big thing. Like, bro, like you used to be able to go into someone's house and be like, damn, like this person has fucking marble. Holy shit. You know what I mean? But nowadays, dude, there's, it's, I don't know if this is a result of just like human development, or like as far as like economical structures go, or I don't know if it's a result of just like the system crackling over time. But now we have a point in time, bro, where you literally have the richest YouTuber is a motherfucking 7-year-old. And this motherfucker can walk into any McDonald's he fucking wants and buy the place out. Like, you know what I'm saying? My point is, it's easier now than ever to remember how I was talking about the class divide? See, but that happens when like a fucking pandemic or some shit goes down, you know? But like for the shit in the middle, like this whole e-commerce game or this fucking Insta-thought shit, bro, people are making money off of like the most ridiculous things. And that's what I kind of wanted to lead into now. What's kind of like your guys' vision for e-commerce? Do you think it's going to get commercial? Do you think it's going to stay the way it is? Because there's a lot of regulations going down as far as internet usage, data restrictions that aren't going to make it easy for us to do this type of shit without being tracked all the time and stuff. So let me start with Kevin. What's like your, you know, where do you see this whole market going into 10 years? Is it going to be like all crypto? Like,
well, the thing is, anything that's any e-commerce business is constantly evolving. I mean, Amazon itself has made so many changes in the past 2 years alone. It used to be a very, very easy market to make money on, and now it's very competitive. And now you have to really make sure you stand out in order to win. And then Amazon has different rules as time changes and everything. So I think with any other e-commerce business, I think it's always going to evolve, but I think the opportunity is just going to get bigger. That's what I think. Mm. I think we're going to be transitioning into things that are going to be more online, more towards convenience, because we're always looking to advance and always looking for the easiest way to do things. So I see in 10 years that it's going to be a bigger thing, but those who enter now are going to be more set in stone into it. The way I kind of see it, like the corporations that started 10 years ago are dominating now, and then the corporations that, or the businesses online that start now, will be dominating in the next 10 years as well. So that's my thoughts on that.
Damn, no, everything, bro, I studied cybersecurity, and like the first thing they teach you is like within the next 10 years, everything's going to be digital. Mm-hmm. What about you, Asad? What's your take on this?
I think it is going to change. I don't know that it'll necessarily become harder. But anything that, like, whatever happens, people are going to adapt to it. But I think that there's a more entrepreneurial spirit in the younger generations, especially, like, starting with millennials and, you know, generations after that. Because millennials were the generation that we were still living with the promise that, like, with the promises that boomers had. You know, like go to college, like get a degree, go to grad school, get a job. And then we get hit with, we got hit with like nonstop PTSD. Like 9/11 happened when we were kids, and then like the wars happened, and then this big recession. And for the longest time, people didn't have jobs and couldn't find jobs. So we had to figure stuff out on our own. And then all of these, like all this new technology came up out of it. So I think that moving forward, what's going to happen is we're going to see a lot more like mid-level companies sprout up. A lot of them are going to be started by millennials. Like you're like 10 years out, millennials are going to be in their 40s and mid to late 30s. And we're going to have experience with all the stuff that we've done. We're going to, you know, kind of be more creative and expand things out in that sense. And I think that, yeah, I think overall it's going to get better. I don't know if it'll get harder. I think things are going to kind of decentralize a little bit more. And I think one big thing right now is like, regardless of what's actually happening with the coronavirus, if you look at how people are behaving, like you look at these videos coming out from Italy, like people playing music. I don't know if you guys saw that, but there's guys like DJing to their whole neighborhood and all this kind of stuff. And everyone's just like, everything's quiet. And I think we're going to come out of this a little bit better just overall as a race of humans. And I think that's going to have a big impact on how people live moving forward. And that's obviously going to impact how we do business and commerce. So I think that I don't know how it's going to change. I know things, like, you know, things are constantly changing, but I think that we're headed toward better times. And I think that a lot of the stuff that. I think a lot of bad stuff's gonna go away in terms of like corporate greed and stuff
yeah,
like that.
I think that's exactly what's happening. People are waking up and, you know, they're seeing the, like, how many people started fundraisers for people who are out of the job right now, and like how many jobs right now didn't give a fuck about their employees and just said, yo, get out of here. We don't want your fucking bullshit. And all the people are like, hey, I need a job. It's fucked
up. Yeah, and I think one other thing that's interesting too is, like, I don't know if you guys saw it, but there's a shortage of masks and ventilators and all that kind of stuff. And people are also going to see how important the free market is. Apple's donating 1 million masks. Elon Musk was looking for patent information on ventilators, and Tesla's going to make ventilators and donate like 250,000 of them. And the reason they're short is because, like, if something is government contracted, they don't ever make more than they need. And so now you have private enterprise stepping in and saying, yo, we have a problem. We're going to help you guys fix it. And so all this, like, beef and, like, heat that Bezos gets and Elon Musk gets and Tim Cook, people are going to start to see that without the free market, a lot more people would have died. So it's not necessarily that, like, every big company is evil. There's a lot of good that comes from it. Corporate America is the reason we live the life that we live. So I think there's going to be more, like, I think a lot of healing needs to happen just overall, and I think that's kind of what's going to happen. People are going to reprioritize.
You know what I think it also – or go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, I was just like, have you guys been seeing this trend on Twitter about this, like, eat the rich bullshit?
Oh, yeah, bro. I mean, I feel like where that's coming from is, like, this whole movement of, like, what is that? I said, like, neoliberalism?
Yeah, there's this fallacy that...
Wait, hold on, before, dude, Kevin, Asad is, he deals with that shit every day, bro. This fool trolls those kind of guys and girls on Twitter, bro. But my bad, Asad, go ahead.
No, that's all good. It's this idea that people don't think critically. There's a lot of entitlement coming around, like a lot of Bernie bros who... First of all, people don't understand how things work. Like, they're like, Bezos has $106 billion, and I'm broke. Like, I'm 20 grand in net. It's like, he doesn't have $100 billion cash sitting in a fucking bank account. That's his net worth based on his shares in Amazon. If Amazon drops 10%, like, shares drop 10%, he's going to lose billions of dollars. But it's not like he can just pull that money out. And the other thing that people don't get is, like, you made him rich. He created a value. Amazon's not a retail company. They're a logistics company. They should, like 20 years ago, if you had told anybody that, yo, you could buy something online, it'll be here in 2 fucking days, regardless of where you live in the U.S., it's like unheard of. He did something impossible. So people think that, like, billionaires don't just come out of thin air. They, like, we make billionaires. Society creates billionaires because they provide enough value that we want their product or service, and they become very wealthy and very rich. So I think that a lot of it is this fault, like this entitlement that, like, why does somebody else have money and I don't? Because we were told, there's 2 generations of kids who were told that they're special just because they're, like, you're just special for being you. Like, no, nah, but, like, you're not fucking special, bro. Like, you're the same as everybody else. Like, you can't, like, no, it's not okay to be fat. Everyone's like, oh, it's like, you can be fat. No, you can't be fucking fat. Like, if you're fat right now and you're 25, you're at risk of, like, coronavirus could fuck you up. And somebody else that's not fat, yeah, you're fine. So it's like, no, you can't just make people feel good for their bullshit decisions. And I think that the other big thing is people look at socialist countries and they're like, oh, everything works over there. Like, they look at Denmark and Norway and Scandinavian countries, and it's like, it works there because they have less than 50 million people and they all look the same. Like, you can do that in a homogenous society. You can't do it in a diverse society. So yeah, this whole eat the rich bullshit is, it's a lot of entitlement. It's a lot of kids who have, you know, parents who pay for all their shit, who were told, like, kids that got participation trophies, like, that's who is going through this shit. And, you know, when reality hits them, they're going to realize that they can't eat the rich, because we're not living in a time where you can eat the rich. Like, you can't bum rush Bezos' house. He's probably got fucking Blackwater guards.
Probably got, like, laser beams and shit. Bro, yeah, the whole Bernie bro bullshit too. It's, I don't know if you guys saw that, like, that picture, but it was, like, before Bernie was a millionaire. He was, like, tweeting all his tweets. This is, I probably think, around, like, Obama time.
Yeah.
All his tweets that were, like, concerning the rich were talking about millionaires. Like, oh, we need to We need to stop the millionaires. We need to take them. We need to stop what they're doing. We gotta. I'm 80 years old and I got dementia. But whatever. And then now that he's a millionaire, all his tweets are regarding billionaires, bro.
Yeah.
And like all these kids and all these girls, like, bro, I feel like it's the generation right under us. What's the Gen? What is that?
Gen Z.
Yeah. Where they're going up into technology, right? And then, like, bro, I don't know what the fuck it is. Like, everyone's obsessed with communism, bro.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, it's like they're romanticizing something that killed 25 million people under the USSR, bro. Just not even Hitler. Like, worse than what Hitler did.
Yeah.
And it's romanticized.
I mean, Mao killed.
And then they're like,
Mao's
wait.
Mao's responsible for, like, 50 million
Yeah,
deaths.
Mao Zedong, bro. And then what about, then they're like, oh, well, what about Fidel Castro? Okay, well, the way Fidel Castro set it up, he did it because they were fighting a fucking, like, colonial power. It's not like they instilled, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have, like, free education, shit like that in Cuba. I'm not doubting the, every government, every type of government has its perks and whatnot. But you can't just, like, be... What these kids are doing, bro, they're subjecting themselves to exactly what Bernie and all these other fools want, where, like you were saying, they have no idea how the world works. So when Bernie says one thing they like and gets their vote, dude, he's going to do probably the complete opposite or, like, some shit that, like, the real world application of what he tried saying.
Yeah.
Right.
He can't just... A lot of people don't understand that, like... They don't understand, like, hey, like, the reality of the world is that you gotta figure your shit yourself. Yeah. And no one's gonna hand you shit. Like, nobody's gonna give that shit to you. Nobody's gonna give you $1 million business. And, you know, no one, the people who are talking shit about eating the rich and saying, like, oh, he has this much money, but he's not donating this much. It's like, you're the same person not even donating a dollar. Like, guaranteed.
Exactly.
Guaranteed you're not donating anything.
Right. Like, look, I'm not political. Like, I'm not even registered to vote. I don't care. You viewers can judge me. I've said this many times on my show. But every president sucks, bro. Every president sucks balls. Doesn't matter. Bro, and the thing is, too, even with, like, Congress and shit, bro, I feel like, okay, I'm not saying we should, like, when I say, like, nuke the whole thing, I don't mean, like, kill them. But, bro, I feel like this is also touching on what SF was bringing up earlier, bro. All of these systems, like, whether it's education, financial, even our political system, bro, it's broken, dude. Think about, your vote doesn't fucking matter, dude. Your vote doesn't fucking matter. And all these people are out here fucking bitching, bro. And, like, I like how Kevin just brought this up. You know, I do want to wrap up soon, but... Your life is not going to be controlled or manipulated by someone who's 70 years old running for fucking office, bro. Like, you know what I mean? So figure shit out yourself, you piece of shit.
You gotta stand up and do your own thing, man.
You know?
It comes down to personal responsibility. Like, that's what, like, I don't want to say you're alone in this world, but you can't expect... you can't expect somebody else to do your shit. And I think it's even more so, like, if you're a guy, like, if you're a guy, like, there's traditional rules of masculinity that are, like, very, like, we need to bring those back. Cause it's like, if you're, are you a man? Are you really a fucking man? Like, you got some, like, you're, you know, you sit at home all day and your girl's making all your money, like, supporting you and shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some people are cool with that, some people aren't. Like, whatever. But it's like, there's certain things that are very biological. You got to earn your keep. You got to do your own thing. You got to, you know, handle your shit. And if you don't, then you're not a functioning member of society. You can't just expect the world to, you know, I'll keep this short, but I remember, like, I forgot who it was, but there was a story of, like, I think it was in King Louis V's court, the Sun King or whatever, but there was some artist who was, like, because, you know, there'd be, like, people would, like, would support artists so they could do their thing. And there was this one guy, there was this one artist who just, like, wasn't, like, was just blowing through the money he was getting from his benefactors and shit. And he was like, I'm responsible for creating beauty in the world, so you shouldn't criticize me for how I spend your money. And they were like, yeah, okay, like, go fuck yourself. And I think they killed him. Because he wasn't even doing anything. He wasn't even producing. It's like, you're not even doing the bare minimum of what you're supposed to be doing. Like, all these things have a function in society, but you're living in a time now where it's like, you can find ways to be profitable. You can find ways to, you know, not be a fucking mooch. So yeah, I think the funniest thing about Bernie too is everyone's like, he's anti-establishment. Like, he's running as a fucking Democrat, bro. He's not anti-establishment at all.
Facts.
Factual information. Guys, I wanted to, dude, I enjoyed this conversation very much. I know you both have to get out of here by 2 p.m. Let me start off with Esed. Dude, closing remarks, anything you wanted to bring up, anything you wanted to plug. The stage is yours!
No, just thank you for having me on, Kevin. It was great meeting you and talking to you. I think it'd be dope to do this in person once, you know.
Once this whole quarantine shit.
Once this whole thing is done. But, I think closing remarks is... If anybody listening, anybody watching, if you're trying to do your own thing, it's like just get on with it. Just fucking start. That's the best advice I can give anybody. Nobody's coming to save you. Just fucking get started. And I don't think I have anything to plug. I guess my YouTube channel, which if you just go to YouTube and search Esed Shaw, it'll come up. And I'll be getting some more content up there and Twitter as well, which is not Amazon FBA guy anymore. It's at Asaw Dude.
Asaw Dude.
Saw, dude. But thanks for having me on, man.
Bro, absolutely, you're welcome anytime. Kevin, what about you, bro? Closing remarks, plug your everything.
So I would say I agree a lot with what Asad said. It was really nice meeting you too, man. Definitely think we should definitely get this in person as well, because I think we could have a lot better connection around with each other.
But hell yeah,
for sure. And I think that I think the biggest thing is that you gotta look out for yourself. And you gotta seek the opportunities that are out there, do your research, and then take action with whatever you wanna do. Because if you don't, you don't know what kind of life you're gonna be missing out on. You don't know what kind of lifestyle you'd be missing out on. So I encourage people to do your research, find what works out there for you. It doesn't have to be any of the business we do, but anything that works out for you, anyone listening. And that's really it. My name is Kevin Pack. Last name is spelled P-A-K. You can find my YouTube with my name, Kevin Pack, and then my Instagram is Kevin Pack Man.
Guys, definitely agree. I love you both for, you know, agreeing to come on a Channel T. I also agree that you should start doing whatever you want to do now. Bro, you know, I started Channel T a year ago, guys. Like, you know what I mean? And look where it's ended up. I thank you guys for your time. Next time we do this in person, you're going to love the layout. I'm gonna give y'all the details that no one's ever heard yet. I'm doing a reformat of my show. You guys are probably going to love it for sure. It's going to be like a late night vibe, like Jimmy Fallon. I have my desk on one green screen and then the two chairs that I have on the other. So it'd be perfect, bro. Can't wait for you guys to see that once this whole bullshit dies down.
Word.
Guys, you're welcome. Anytime, my platform is your platform. Just hit it up. Let's get it going.
Thank you, sir.
Guys, this has been our Channel T. CECC? What did we say it was? This has been the Channel T Coronavirus E-Commerce Convention.
There you go.
And thank you for watching. Be sure to subscribe, like. I'll put all their information down in the description below, also here and whatnot. Gentlemen, without further ado, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
All right, guys. And this is Channel T, CECC, and it's a wrap.